This is August the 30th, chapel service with Dr. George Worrell, Vice President for External Affairs.
The writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." As I was coming to the chapel, I saw the manner of some. They were going that way, but you came this way, and you followed that word of admonition. And we welcome you to our chapel service this morning as we worship our Lord in the joy and gladness that He would have us so to do. We'll begin by turning to hymn number 453. Number 453, Love is the Theme. We'll stand together as we sing this great hymn of the faith. Number 453, may we stand together, please, as we sing. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We want to introduce some very special guests in our chapel service this morning. This is New Trustee Orientation Week, and we have our new trustees on our campus today. Let me introduce to you, Mr. Charles Ritchie, Mr. Edwin Bailey, Mr. Don Johnston, and Mr. Calvin Partain. Would you gentlemen please stand for just a moment? Thank you so much. Then we also are very happy to have Mrs. Johnston with us. Would you stand, please? Let us recognize you. And our chairman, Dr. Crowley, would you stand, please, sir? We're grateful for these folks' presence with us here today. Thank you so very much. And we're grateful for your presence. This is a fine congregation, as it were, and we are wanting to constantly keep before us the centrality of worship in the life of our seminary as we lift up our hearts and our lives to the Lord. In these settings, this is what brings vitality and spiritual dynamic to us, which is such a central part in our whole seminary experience. So let's be faithful, let's invite others, and let's just see this place running over service by service. Thank you so very, very much. We'll bow our heads now in prayer, asking God's blessings upon our time together. Then we shall introduce the speaker. May we bow our heads, please, as we pray. Our loving Lord, that is the theme of the very essence of our Christian faith. God so loved. We thank you, Father, for that gift of love as personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that grace of love that bestows our daily walk with your loving kindness and tender mercies, as even the psalmist himself so well knew. We pray, therefore, Father, that we might walk in love even as Christ did, and that we might exemplify that wonderful fruit of the Spirit in all of our relationships with one another, with our work, above all, with yourself. So make this a time of looking to our Lord, loving him, one another, the opportunities that are ours to serve us, and may we in that spirit of love just give ourselves to the end that Christ might be magnified and glorified in our life and in all that we do. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus, your love gift, that we pray. Amen. Contrary to the program that's printed, Dr. Edwin Neely is not going to be with us today. He's not very well. You'll want to remember him in prayer. He will be with us tomorrow, hopefully, and in his place, as it were, doing a bit of a program flip-flop, we're going to have Dr. George Worrell. Most of you, of course, know this gentleman. He is our Vice President of External Matters. He deals with alumni, public relations, student recruitment, development, etc. Dr. Worrell was a pastor for many years, pastoring great churches in the state, I suppose, inject that adjective when you talk about this state, the great state of Texas. And after many years of successful pastorate, he became an associate in the Department of Evangelism in the Texas Baptist Convention. After that, in the leadership of the Lord, he became the director of evangelism for the state of Missouri. He brings a rich heritage to us of Christian ministry. He has his graduate and undergraduate degrees on the seminary level from Southwestern Seminary. And through the years, God has used this man significantly. He knows God's word. He declares God's word. And you're going to hear a fine message from Dr. Worrell in just a few moments. But we always have marvelous experiences in our music worship here in our seminary. And so we will be hearing special music. And then at that conclusion, Dr. Worrell will come and preach God's word to us. Welcome. May the Lord richly bless us today. Thank you.
In his book, Concentric Circles, the late C. Oscar Thompson has suggested that the most important word in the English language is relationships. The most important word in the English language is relationships. There's merit to that suggestion, because if a husband and wife have a good relationship, they can have a beautiful home. If parents and children have a relationship, those children have the possibility of growing up into useful, stable Christian citizens. If there's a good relationship between pastor and congregation, that pastor has the opportunity of spending many years of service among his people. If there are good relationships between the people in the church, a spirit of unity and harmony, there's a possibility of evangelism and ministry within the community. For where there is no harmony, and where there is no unity, and where there is no good relationships, then there cannot be evangelism and outreach and service to the community. Now the question has to be this: how can we build good relationships? What is the key to good relationships? The answer to that is love. I call your attention this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, and believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things." And within these three or four short verses, there are 15 verbs that describe what love is and what love isn't. And first it says, love is patient. Now the patience of which Paul is speaking here is patience not toward circumstances, but patience toward people. Did you hear about the little boy that brought his report card home? On the back of it, the teacher had written, "Johnny is trying." And the next time he brought his report card home, again the teacher had written on the back, "Johnny is still trying." And the third time that he brought his report card home, the teacher written on the back of the card, "Johnny is very, very trying." And that's the way it is with a lot of people. Sometimes they're just like gnats buzzing around our head. They just try our patience to the nth degree. But love has the patience to wait until that adolescent teenager who is so troublous to us matures into an adult. Love has the patience to wait until that prodigal comes home from the far country. Love has the patience to wait until the ill become well. And love has the patience to wait until the truth is out. So that we build good relationships by loving one another. Love is patient and love is kind. Now this word kind here means that we aggressively seek to do good toward other people. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you that this two or three weeks ago when that big moving van rolled up to the White House here on the campus and started unloading our things, a young seminarian by the name of Randy Willis came by with a friend of two of his. He came by two or three times and he said, "Is there any way we can help you? Is there anything we can do?" Well, I want to tell you something. I have a fond memory of Randy Willis. He built a good relationship by trying to do good for us. And last Saturday afternoon, a young student came by and brought us a loaf of hot banana bread. And the person gave it to my daughter. And we don't even know his name, but I want you to know I'd like to know it. And the fact of the matter is that good done to us helped me to want to know that person and to build a relationship with that person. Did you know that love enables us to want to do good and to do good to those who are even unlovely? And love enables us to want to do good and to do good to those who are unsaved. And the way that you build witnessing relationships and the way that you make friends in order that you can share Jesus Christ with them is ministering to them when they're sick in the hospital and praying for them whenever they have problems and relating to them and helping them in tough situations. And if you want to build good relationships, then be kind. Do good toward others. Love is kind And love does not envy. It is not jealous. And love does not boast. It is not proud. When I was growing up in high school, we lived in Big Spring, Texas. My dad owned the Ford Tractor Company. Right next to us lived the man who owned the Oldsmobile Company. And he had a son about my age. But the problem is that that boy was a braggart. He just always bragged on what he had. And what he had was always better than what I had. His bicycle was better than ours. His home was a better place in which to live than our home was. Their car was better to drive than our car was. And I must confess to you this morning this. Do you think I loved that young man? Do you think I wanted to be a friend with that young man? No, I detested the very ground on which he walked because he bragged and bragged and bragged. Listen, if you want to build a good relationship, you better not be proud. You better not be puffed up. Some years later, I pastored in a church just 40 miles north of where I graduated from high school. In our town, there was a man by the name of Windy Beckham. He was a humorous man. He wrote a daily column in the newspaper entitled Windy's Windsocks. He drove a Chevy. He drove a Ford now and then. He lived in a house that was not a mansion. It was unostentatious, but he was worth millions of dollars. But people in our town loved Windy Beckham, and we liked Windy Beckham. Why was that? I think Jesus put it this way. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And that humble person is the person who builds good relationship. Love is not rude. Now, many of you won't remember this, but there was a black man by the name of Nat King Cole who had a quartet, and they sang songs. And one of the songs that he sang that I remember is, "You always hurt the one you love, the one you love the most of all." I wonder, why is it that sometimes in the community a person can be so nice and courteous and outgoing, and when they get home, they are most rude to those whom they love most? Now, I wonder why it is that some of our businessmen who are members of the church can be so outgoing and so thoughtful and courteous to people in the community, but when they come to church, they become obnoxious and rude. A moment ago, I suggested that love enabled us to be kind to those who were even unlovely. Now I'm going to suggest to you that love in our hearts enables us to be courteous to those who are lovely and who love us most. Love is not rude, it is courteous. Love is not selfish, it seeketh not its own, according to the King James Version. On one occasion I served, as Dr. Drummond suggested this morning, as Associate Director of Evangelism in the state of Texas in academic and youth and renewal evangelism. I had the opportunity of establishing and initiating the Super Summer Program that has spread all over the United States of America. My director was named C. Wade Freeman. He had a profound influence over my life. And his motto was this: in honor, preferring one another. Not one time in the 27 years in which he served as director of evangelism did he put himself on the evangelism program. He always reached out and put someone else on the program. He was unselfish in his leadership. He was always seeking to build other people up. And as I've already suggested, he served 27 years as director of evangelism. Why is that? He had a good relationship with the people of our state. Why is that? Because he was unselfish. He had a selfless concern for the welfare of other people. Now, the Bible says that love is not easily provoked. Take your pencil, if you have your Bible, and circle that word easily. Because the Bible doesn't suggest to us that we are never to be provoked, or love is never angered, or love is never exasperated. No, what it says is this: love is not easily exasperated. It is not easily angered. I think Jesus Christ is a great example for us here. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible tells us that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And by the time we reach the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, the scribes and Pharisees had already decided that he must die
And from that time on through John chapter 19, they persecuted Jesus Christ and they sought to kill him. And finally, they put him on the cross. But on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Didn't mean that he didn't call some of them a snake and a hypocrite once in a while. It didn't mean that he didn't cleanse the temple in righteous indignation. But he was patient. His anger, it just couldn't stir the anger of Jesus Christ. He was not easily angered. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you fly off the handle at the drop of a hat? Now, for those of you who come from a different country, I know that's a tremendous colloquialism, flying off the hat. Flying off the handle at the drop of a hat. What that means is this: how many of you lose your temper with a snap of the finger? You've always got to be right, and if you're not right and somebody else doesn't recognize it, you're just flying off the handle. You're losing your temper. You see, here's the thing about love. It is an emotion that controls emotions. It is an emotion that controls our anger. And through love, we're able to prevent divorce in the family. And through love, we're able to prevent wife beating. And through love, we're able to prevent child abuse. And through love, we don't lose our temper. We want to, but that love works against anger. And those relationships are enhanced within the home and the community and the seminary. It says love keeps no record of wrongdoing. This is an accountant word, and the picture is this. It is of an accountant writing down all of the transactions that come to pass in a ledger so that at a later time, those transactions might be remembered and brought up again. The problem is that sometimes whenever people do wrong against us, whenever they offend us, we put that down on the ledger of our mind. And then when we get into an argument, we always bring it up. Do you remember what happened 3 months ago? Do you remember what you did 3 years ago? Do you remember what you did 30 years ago? Always bringing up the wrongs that people have done against you. You see, we may want to do that, but if we love, it'll help us to bite our tongue. You see, love is an art, that's true, but love is also a discipline. Love keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It's a cliche, but it's true. If you can't say something good about somebody, just don't say it. That's what this verse says. If you can't say something good about someone, just don't say it. But it carries it a step farther. Not only are we to not speak evil of others, it doesn't rejoice in evil, but it looks into the life of others to find those good things about that person and bring those good things out and affirm that person and say to that person, "I appreciate you because of this and this and this. You're great here and you're wonderful here and you're good here." I want to tell you something. That'll build good relationships. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love beareth all things. Now, I have a motto for you young seminarians this morning that will guarantee you a success in your ministry, whatever it is. Now, some of you might say, "Well, hey, wait a minute. I'm not a young seminarian. I'm a little older seminarian," okay? I have a motto for all of you seminarians that will make a difference in your ministry, and here it is. You ought to write this down indelibly in your mind. Allow for a major fault and a lot of little minor faults in the lives of every person you know, and just keep sweet. Beareth all things. Allow for a major fault and a lot of little minor faults in the lives of that chairman of the deacons, in the lives of the Sunday school director, in the lives of the pastor, in the lives of your partner, and a lot of little minor faults, and just keep sweet. Would you say it with me this morning? Love beareth all things. Say it. Love beareth all things. Say it again. Love beareth all things. Yes. And love believeth all things and hopeth all things and endureth all things. The pastor of the First Methodist Church of Houston, Texas, named Charles Allen, used to write a periodical on sermons and illustrations. When he first went to the church there in Houston, he preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for four straight Sundays. Preached on 1 Corinthians 13 for four straight Sundays. And then he challenged his people. And he said, I challenge you, everyone in this congregation, to read 1 Corinthians 13 once a day for 30 days. I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day for 30 days and begin to interpret, begin to find out what it means, begin to plant it in your heart, and begin to practice it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just not in the habit of preaching a sermon without giving an invitation, and I have one for you this morning, and it's this. I want to challenge you to try. Now, get that word try. I want to challenge you to try to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day for 30 days and put it into practice. I want to challenge you now to read the book of 1 Corinthians 13 every day for 30 days and begin to put it into practice. And there may be here some this morning say, well, I can't do that. I have such a hard feeling in my heart, and I have such animosities, and I'm just emotionally upset. I just can't do that, and I'm not going to do it. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's not talking about the universal brotherhood of man here. It's talking about fellow Christians. It's talking about fellow church members here. It's talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, we can know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And there are some here who say, well, I want you to know this. I already practice love. There is love in my life. I'm thankful for that. Perfect love casteth out all fear and insecurity. And I'm glad that you do practice that love in your life. But I want you to know something. In my own life and in my own home, there is room for improvement of relationship. And there is room in my life for a better love toward others. And that's what I'm going to challenge you to do today. Regardless of where you are, the tension of the gospel is always to make us a little bit better, a little bit more kind, a little bit more loving than where we've ever been before. Now, if you will, I'd like for you to bow your head and close your eyes. Everyone, bow your head and close your eyes. If you will promise God that you will try, catch the emphasis there, that you will try to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day for 30 days, to let it soak into your heart, and you'll try to practice it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to stand with me wherever you are. If you will promise that you'll try to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day for 30 days, now, you won't want to stand unless you mean it, but you will try to read that book of 1 Corinthians 13 every day for 30 days and begin to put it into practice, then you'll stand. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the love that you express to us through Jesus Christ, thy Son, and for the Holy Spirit of love that is shed abroad in our hearts. There may be those in this campus and in our congregation who have hatred and animosity in their hearts. We know that you've taught us through Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, if we ask for forgiveness, we must forgive. Our relationships are dependent upon our love one to another. I pray that you would begin to move in my heart, O Lord. Help me
to be more loving. And oh Lord, help all of us, regardless of where we are, to be more loving. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be in His name we pray. Amen. God bless.